copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
The classic verses on discipleship that I'm sure that you've gone through and you've memorized and you know is Matthew 28, but it would feel awkward for me not to put this on there, right? Because this is the passage for discipleship. And the only thing I want to say real quickly is that Jesus said, go and make disciples. So he didn't say, go and make Bible scholars. He didn't say, go and make theologians. He didn't say, go and make Baptists or Presbyterians, but he said, go and make followers of Jesus. And that our goal, and as Jay's been saying, our goal, our mission is to call people to hold fast to Jesus, call people to live in their relationship with Christ, to do that. And so one of the other passages is Jesus called his disciples in Mark 8 and his followers that if anyone would come to me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and become my follower. And so, again, you guys may have already used this, but for me, the whole idea of deny is to come under new ownership. And so what I would say in terms of best practices in my life is that I'm an onion, and I peel off, or the Lord peels off a layer in my life, and the greatest encouragement and disappointment in my life is that there's just another layer underneath it. That's what onions are. They're just layers. And so for my whole life, I'm going to be going through that journey where the Lord peels off one layer and there's just another one underneath it until I'm with him. And so I come under new ownership. I belong to him. I take up my cross and I become a follower of Jesus. Then again, as Jay's been telling you, the new commandment I give you, Jesus said, again, if Jesus is our authority, if the resurrection is true, then this has to be true. And he said, you know, that you love one another. And by this, all people will know you're my disciples. By this, all people know you're my follower, by how we love one another. So if you want to know what a disciple looks like, it's someone who holds fast to Jesus and loves others. That there's a love for other people that shines through, that flows out of a follower of Jesus. And so this is my experience in the U.S. church, so forgive me, it doesn't fit you, but some of the meanest people I've ever met are, you know, people have been in the church for 40 years, and they know 100 Bible verses, but they have no love in their hearts. They have all kinds of information. And so I think the U.S. church has been pretty good in giving people information, but maybe we've missed out often in how to love one another and what that looks like. And even the priority of that, because we, you know, if you follow our politics, we're pretty good at dividing these days. And the church is pretty good at dividing. If you just look at how many denominations we have, you would say, yeah, you guys are really good at division, but you're not very good at, as good as you could be at coming together. And I think that underneath all that, the church in the U.S. has done better and really grown in that area. But our command to grow disciples involves how do we love one another? And Jesus said, love one another as I've loved you. So he set the bar so high for us that you could teach on loving Jesus and loving one another your whole life. And we're just going to scrape the bottom of the bar. It is a lifelong journey. So that's a high value for me, is that advanced discipleship is still about loving Jesus and loving one another. And if we create people who know, you know, they know their theology, you know, I'm a Calvinist, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a Reformed, but they don't love one another, then somehow we've failed them in our attempts at discipling. And so, advanced discipleship, often for me is beginning discipleship, that it's going back to the basics. What did Jesus tell us to do? And so this is it. Now, one of the things, and again, Jace already talked about this, so we don't need to spend a lot of time on it, but personal discipleship matters to me because I recognized early in my ministry that I was way too often telling people to do things that I wasn't doing. I was telling people to pray and I wasn't praying. I was telling people to read your Bible every day and I wasn't reading my Bible every day. And that I was at best a hypocrite, at worst just lying, right? And that somehow what I was telling people needed to line up better with how I was living my life. And so that's been a lifelong goal. And so I think that our ministry, our discipleship ministry, flows out of who we are in Christ. And it flows out of, are we growing in our relationship with Christ? And that's, you know, a big deal. So again, I know I'm probably repeating something, but advanced discipleship never grows past our own personal growth in Christ. We have an old saying that you can only take people as far as you are yourself. And the fact is that if I'm not growing in Christ, at some point, I'm going to inhibit the people that around me, their growth in Christ and their ability to follow Jesus and how they see Christ. So the first question that I'll have for you guys to reflect on in a little bit is when in your life, when in your life have you grown the most in your walk with Jesus, and why was that? And sometimes it's important for us to reflect back on, you know what, I was in a community of people that were so passionate about Christ, it just rubbed off on me. Or I was in seminary and every day I was walking with people and praying and studying God's word. And, you know, when is it that you felt the most growth in your life, and why was that, and where are you now? And then the second question is just follows that up. What's working now and what's not working in your life? And, you know, we do this all the time. One of the things that the Lord has been challenging me with recently is this idea of his presence. And so I'm a journaler. You know, somebody asked me, do you pray quietly? Do you pray out loud? And I said, no, I write it all down. And every morning, very early in the morning, I write, and first thing I write in my journal is, Lord Jesus, I'm here. And then I write, thank you for being present with me, because I want to start my time with the Lord recognizing that I'm in the presence of God, that I'm in his presence, that he abides in me, I abide in him, that I'm in the very presence of the God who created the universe, and what a privilege that is. And I can often come to prayer and not even recognize the fact that, man, I'm in the presence of God. So if you want to know, can you grow after 60? That's certainly an area that God's really challenged me in my life currently, and what I'm focusing on. And then the second thing that I write down after that is this sentence, that though I am a weak and sinful man, I'm fully loved by you. And to remind myself that I'm still growing, that I still sin, that I'm still, you know, need, you know, repentance in my life, but that I can never be more loved by the Father than I am right now. That it's not about my performance, but it's about his love for me. And I need to be reminded that my identity is tied up in who Christ is in my life. And my identity is tied up in how much he loves me. It's not in how big my church is. It's not in how effective I think my ministry is, or who likes me or who doesn't like me, or any of those other ways that we keep score, but it's on Christ's love for me. So that drives me. And that's part of my, you know, I feel like how the Lord has been speaking to me. I've loved part of this COVID thing here in the U.S. that I've really loved is that it gives me an excuse to spend more time, you know, just talking to the Lord, spend more time reading and more time trying to, you know, really, you know, peel some layers back in my life. And I feel like that's been a hidden gift for me in this sheltering in place time. Now, if you can see behind me, there's bunk beds behind me, because the other important part of my life is that I'm a diehard grandpa. And I have my 10th grandchild coming in this summer. And so this room has toys and bunk beds, because that's always part of my life, is with my family in the first part of my ministry. So that's just a throw in. Now, I want to talk, I want to jump into this disciple makers. And how are you seeing growth in others? And what seems to be working or not working? That's part of the question that we're asking. And where do you see great discipleship happening? I want to give you one challenge that I'm seeing. And I'm holding, see this? It's a funnel, right? And if I were to give you one challenge in your discipleship, is that you think of discipleship more as a funnel than you do as a straight line or a pathway. Because one of the mistakes that that I've made, and I think we've made often in the U.S., is we create these pathways for discipleship, but I'm deciding how everybody grows. I'm deciding how everybody gets on the pathway. And people are different, and people dive in at different levels and in different ways. So some people, you know, want to be in a Bible study, and I want to grow, and I want to learn, and give me all you've got. And some people, and I see this a lot with men, they don't want to be embarrassed that they don't know the Bible. They don't want to have to share their, you know, whatever they think their deepest, darkest secrets are with other people. They don't want to get into that kind of deal. And so the question is, how do I broaden the funnel? Are there, how many ways are there to get in on the pathway to discipleship? So one of the things that I've discovered with men, for example, is service. That that I know guys that wouldn't come to a Bible study initially, but if I asked them to bring their toolbox and help me go to a widow's house and reframe her front porch or redo her front landscaping because she can't keep it up anymore, they'll jump at that, and then I get to be with them for 4 hours while we work. Or one of our other pastors gets to be with them for 4 hours while they work, and we build relationship, we model, you know, who Christ is. We start talking to them about connection. We're not threatening anymore. We're not weird anymore. We are committed. And so it's just a simple thing about thinking about having a wider top to the funnel and not feeling defeated if people don't buy into our programs. If this is really about relationships, if it's really, because I think discipleship is relational. I think discipleship is about community. Andy Stanley here likes to say that people grow more in circles than they do in rows. And so if we just invite them to church to sit in a row, that's a good thing. But if they really want to disciple them, then we get them in a circle. We get them in community. We get them building relationship. And so I think often a funnel is too small, that we're trying to fit everybody into our pattern and our pathway as opposed to allowing them to, or being creative. For goodness sakes, we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? We ought to be the most creative people on the planet. And we ought to be able to think through ways of getting people engaged in discipleship. Well, one of the things I've seen, because I have these little grandkids, is how awesome MOPS is in our church, that it's Mothers of Preschoolers. And there's this group of women that meet who all have preschoolers. So, you know, they're all on combat pay. They're all sleep deprived. They all have these same issues. And women flock to this thing because they have something in common with these other women. There's a natural discipleship. And for us, it's part of the funnel. That what were some common things? What's some, you know, we have, there's women that do a lunch bunch, and it's for working women, and they meet in different parts of the city that's convenient for women, and they meet for an hour and a half lunch once a month to try to open that funnel up for working women. MOPS, typically the Mothers of Preschoolers, men, it's, you know, a variety of things, but you know, so, but I mean, you guys are smart. I don't need to tell you, I just need to challenge you to widen the funnel. That's the goal of this thing. Does that make sense? We'll have some time for questions and answers, later, but if I were to say that one thing that I feel like the church so often misses is that we buy a curriculum, we buy a program, and then we try to fit everybody into it rather than saying, how do people grow? How do we engage more people? How do we open that funnel up so more people can get in? Our end result is the same, right? We want to love Christ. We want to grow in Christ. We want to follow him. We want to love one another. We want to live our lives out with for the gospel. But how we get them into the top part might be different for different people. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm finished with this part. We're going to create some space for you. We're going to give you 20 minutes just to do some reflection on your own, right where you are. I'd like you to consider where you're growing in your relationship with Christ right now. When have you grown the most? A little reflection time. Then what's working right now and what's not working in your own personal discipleship, where you might need some encouragement and some help. And then the second part of that is how are you seeing growth in others? What are you seeing around you? So often a leader's job is to see where the Holy Spirit's moving and get in the middle of it.